Ready for a fun fact every Californian should know? The boysenberry was actually invented at Knott's Berry Farm. Yep, then came the boysenberry pie, boysenberry barbecued ribs, and over 80 other one-of-a-kind boysenberry treats, all ready for you to taste during Boysenberry Festival at Knott's Berry Farm. Going on now, enjoy food, wine, live entertainment, plus a nighttime dance party. Get your season pass today for as low as six payments of $15.16, plus applicable taxes and fees at Knott's.com. Hurry, offer ends April 20th.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Jeff's Trek. My name is Jeff, and I have a very special show. They're all very special, but this one's close to my heart. I want to give a big shout-out to everyone that's tuning in right now. You guys are always tuning in. I'm looking at the numbers right now, and it's amazing. I really appreciate it. Every single time, even if I'm gone for a few months, you guys always come back. And for those of you who are listening in the archives, thank you as well. That means so much to me that you're following this program. Anyway, today, Jeff Trek is at the Verde Valley Comic Expo with Marvel Comics illustrator Dave Beatty. And we're going to get him on the comm in a few minutes. I want to give a big shout-out to Russell Emmanuel, feature film director, movie occupant. I went to the screening last night, and this was my second time. I was here a few weeks ago. And Russell couldn't make it, but his spirit was there. And I believe Eric Katz was supposed to be there as the associate producer. I'm not sure what happened. We'll find out later. Big shout out to both of you and everybody that's part of the movie Occupants. It's been a big part of my life for the last couple of years. I don't know if you listeners remember, but we had their wrap party for Occupants on Jeff Trek. We broadcasted live in the Liberty Hotel in Boston. And right now, I am in Cottonwood, Arizona, for this Verde Valley Comic Expo. And with me, or soon to be with me, Dave Beatty. We're going to get him on the con in a minute. But so much has gone on. Like I said, last night was my second screening for Occupants. I got to participate in the Q&A. And that was really fun. I learned a lot more about the secretive world of Occupants, which is less and less becoming a secret. It's won 14 awards at all of these film festivals around the entire country. Russell is just scooping it up, and I'm really enjoying that. And it's good to be here. And if I can get my transporters working, you know, I know what I have to do. I have to go from circuit A to B and then back to A again. Thank God for Mr. Scott. Just give me a minute here. I got to find it. I use the tricorder to find my circuit A. Okay. All right, that's enough. All right. Now my tricorder is broken. This is not off to a good start here. All right, you know what? I've got a transporter lock. Put a transporter lock on Dave Beatty. So here we go.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Hi, Dave Beatty. I didn't give you any warning. I just kind of kidnapped you.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking.
Well, this is the transporter room. And I'm going to take you into the bridge. And, yeah, here we go. What do you think of the bridge? Nice and big, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really large. There on the view screen, we have a lot of our listeners getting a good look at us. And as always, I want to thank them again for tuning in. And, wow, right away. Yeah, we need to go to Space Dock. The new computer won't be installed until Tuesday.
Oh, my.
Well, Dave, ladies and gentlemen, give Dave Beatty a round of applause. So, Dave, have a seat in the captain's chair or wherever you would like, if you're comfortable.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I think I'll sit here by the security console.
That sounds great. I'll just sit here in the captain's chair. I'm a captain, Captain Jeff. Anyway, I'm so excited to get to meet you for the first time. I'm not sure, were you at the rap party that we did on Jeff's record?
No, I was not. I don't think I was even probably a part of Team Occupants at that time, because the comic book came after the film was completed.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. We mentioned you a lot. Russell's been on the show, amongst others, for about 9 times, I believe. So we're really pushing hard here at Jeff's Track for Occupants and all of Russell Emanuel's projects, including Assassin's Apprentice and his upcoming new TV series, which hopefully will be on Netflix, called Alien Cross, with executive producer Sean Kenny. And, wow, he is arguably the greatest man in the whole world. Have you ever met Sean Kenny?
No, I have not.
Well, for those of you who don't know who Sean Kenny is, he played Captain Pike. Captain Pike, not Jeffrey Hunter Captain Pike, but in the remastered The Menageries, Parts 1 and 2. He was the guy in that wheelchair box that could blink once for yes and twice for no. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
I love these sharp answers. Thanks, Dave. That's about all I know about that. I don't know the storylines. I know that it's going to be 4 Star Trek actors in the pilot. And they've already they already shot the promo footage. So, and then they're going to get the Kickstarter going and the Indiegogo. And one of those Star Trek actors was actually on Jeff Trek, Hannah Hatte. She played Little Molly from Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah.
She was really cute. And she grew up, and when she left Deep Space Nine, she was just a little kid, and she resumed her normal little kid life, which is great. She didn't get all messed up with Hollywood. Some kids get messed up, some kids don't. But now she's back. She's reviving her acting career, and she's going to be in this new project. So I'm so proud of her. Hopefully she'll come back to Jeff Trek soon, and we can talk to her about it. I know she will. Do you like Star Trek?
Yes. I've been a lifelong Star Trek fan. Actually, a story about how I got started into art, actually. My mom wanted to be a Disney animator. And so as I was growing up, she was always drawing and painting. And so there was one night she was actually painting Spock while we were watching an episode of Star Trek on a black and white television, but she was painting Spock in color. And I was absolutely mesmerized watching what she was doing, and I was like going, I want to do that too. And so she went over and got some paper and some crayons and sat me down. The next show that came on was an old TV show called Rat Patrol.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't remember Rat Patrol. So I sat there and I drew these little stick figures of these crude little Jeeps. And that was the first time I ever drew anything. But it was watching her paint Spock while we were watching Star Trek. But I've been a Star Trek fan, like, as far back as I can remember. One of my favorite birthday parties I remember was a surprise party when I was a little kid, back when VCRs were new. And they actually rented Star Trek II The Wrath of Khan, because I didn't get to see it in the movie theater. And so we had, like, those, what they used to call them, those pizza roll-up things or whatever. So we had some of those, and we watched Wrath of Khan, and I had a Star Trek-themed cake. My mom had, like, put this, made the look like the Enterprise or whatever. So, yeah, I've been a Star Trek fan for a very long time.
That's awesome. Am I older than you? I'm 46 years old. Am I older than you?
I'm 43. I try not to think about it. 43, 44, somewhere there.
Okay, so like me, you weren't around for the original airing of Star Trek the first 3 years.
Oh, no. I saw it in reruns. The first convention I ever actually went to was actually one of the old creation Star Trek conventions. James Doohan, Scotty, was the guest. And it was an awesome experience, and I've enjoyed conventions ever since.
It's awesome. I met James Doohan before he died. Back in 1994, I believe, I was living in Massachusetts, and it was at the Watertown Mall. It was right in the middle of where people walk, and there was a huge crowd standing around him. It was right after his episode that he did for the Star Trek The Next Generation, Relic.
Oh, Relic, really? Yeah.
Yeah, really. And he had Captain Picard's chair right there, like a replica of the chair, and he's sitting in the chair, and he's asking questions. And I was lucky enough to ask him a question. I asked him, I said, your character is still alive.
in Star Trek The Next Generation because of Relics, and I was wondering if you planned on coming back Next Gen. This was before it went off the air. And if they asked you, would you come back? And he says, and he put his hands to his ear. He's like, what did you say, Lottie? I can't hear you. I tried to repeat the question again. And then he says, oh, yes, I'll come back if they ask me. Sure. You know, and he was so awesome. I talked to him for like 4 minutes, which felt like 40 minutes, you know, because here I am talking to one of my greatest heroes. And I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of my heroes. But that's something we share. Did you get a chance to talk to him or you just saw him?
Yeah, we did. This is before this is when they were still kind of figuring conventions out. So there wasn't as much of a barrier between the attendees and the guests as there are now. Kind of like how it is right here. You know, this doesn't have this thing. You know, because certain conventions are so locked down. Part of that's for security and whatever else. So I understand that. But it was, what ended up happening was we had some things to get signed, and he ended up talking to my mom for a little while because my mom was a Trek fan from when it first aired on TV. And so they ended up talking for like a good little while. I was kind of like, how old was I? I remember how old I was. I mean, I was still kind of a kid. But I remember
What year was it?
I don't know.
1970s maybe?
It was in probably the early 80s. And I remember, but we didn't have a lot of money, so my mom kept encouraging me to, like, enter all the different little contests and stuff and whatever, trivia contests and everything. And, I mean, I didn't really remember that much. But I remember the one thing I did was I used to have really bad asthma, and I told my mom, I said, I could probably impersonate a Gorn. My mom was like, well, go up there and do it. And I almost won the impersonation contest with my Gorn.
Oh, that is so cool. You had the outfit, the suit?
No. Just the voice.
Just the voice.
Like that kind of thing.
They will be merciful.
Exactly.
That is awesome. Yeah, I'm all about Star Trek, too. I caught it in the reruns, and then when the movies came out, I still love the motion picture. Some people talk down about it. I love the costumes. I like how they remade the costumes, and they still hold up today, I believe.
I love motion pictures. I remember it was one of the first movies I remember going to as a kid. And, you know, of all the movies they've made, it's probably the closest one to actually a Trek episode in terms of theme and everything else. And I love the aesthetic and the design of the motion picture. I always love the motion picture. Wrath of Khan is my favorite, but that's also, like, my favorite movie of, like, all time.
Right.
You know, but the motion picture, I've always loved that one. So.
And you talk about movies that are like the TV episodes. The Wrath of Khan was literally ripped from Space Seed when we saw Khan for the first time. And I'm so glad they got Ricardo Montalban to come back. I mean, that made it huge. They could have picked some other actor to replace him, but they got him back. That's what I love about Star Trek. Once you act for them, they keep wanting to bring you back. I see so many faces. Sometimes they're in costume like, no, I know who that guy is. You know, he was this character, he was that character. So, yeah, every time I see an episode of Star Trek, even now, I see something I didn't see before. It's like there's a lot of Easter eggs in there.
Right.
Sometimes they don't say things right. Sometimes you see something. What did you think of the, here we are going on about Star Trek. I got to really limit this because I could be here for 20 hours talking about Star Trek. But, yeah, in fact, let's just move on. I'm sure we'll touch on Star Trek as we go. So you were a little kid. You got started because your mom was an artist. Now, I'm an artist all the way around. I'll have to show you some of my artwork sometime. You're going to love it. In fact, I'll show you afterwards. I got some on my phone here. My parents weren't artists, but I was an artist. I was the only artist in the family, and my ex-wife was an artist. And I have a son and daughter, and my daughter, all she does is read and write and draw, and she loves the anime stuff. I am just so impressed with her. She's 13 going on 30. She's on top of her class, so she's kind of a smart ass now. And, you know, ever since she got to the age 13 and got older than me, she doesn't talk to me anymore. I don't know. She'll go through a phase. Do you have kids?
No.
No, we have two dogs and two cats. It's about as close to kids as we got.
That's pretty close. I had a Boston Terrier named Spock. Technically, it was Mr. Spock on his birth certificate. You know, he had the pointy ears and everything. And he's black and white, and he had on his forehead, the shape of the patch of white was very close to the shape of the Enterprise or Star Trek insignia, the Delta
Sign.
Yeah, it was really cool. He was a 13 years, almost.
And when I got divorced, my parents took him in. And it was a beautiful story, beautiful dog. Okay, so you got started out, so you had parents or a mother that was an artist. And where did you go from there? I mean, you were a little kid in the early 80s. What did you take art class in school?
No, I mean, I'm mostly self-taught until I get to high school. High school was when I really got some actual real kind of focused instruction. I had an art teacher named Nancy Norwood. I hope I'm getting that right. I can't believe I'm almost blanking on her name. Anyhow, no, my art teacher in high school, she kind of, they had a kind of a revolutionary pioneer program at that time that was different than how they had been doing high school art programs. So in addition to that, I was actually also in advanced art. So I was actually taking college-level classes at the same time. And so that's kind of where my actual kind of formal instruction started. And then I went to Memphis College of Art, but I only went for a couple of semesters because I had a dispute with an art history professor that we couldn't resolve.
What kind of dispute can you have with art history?
Let's just say we disagreed on some aspects of African art.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. Okay, so, and then what happened after you got out of college? Well, you must have had to work regular jobs before you. Now, you worked for DC and Marvel?
Yeah.
What led up to that from college? And who did you work for first?
Okay, well, what ended up happening was I ended up working at a place called Animated Jack, which is a t-shirt shop. But they also did all kinds of art jobs for a lot of different advertising agencies. And the guy who ran Animated Jack, one of the owners, Mitch Faust, he had been a comic artist during the Black and White Explosion in the 1980s, and that's how I knew him. And he used to be a fantasy book cover painter. And so when I started there, I was like blowing out screens and taking out the trash and that kind of stuff. But he knew that I wanted to do art, and he's like, so look, if you work really hard and you prove yourself, we'll move you over to the art department, we'll teach you some of this, and you can just kind of learn on the go. So that was kind of how most of my professional career has gone. I've always learned on the go. I've been lucky enough to find someone who needs help doing something, and I'm able to learn from them, pick up a set of skills, and then move on to another opportunity and move on to another opportunity. One of the earliest Marvel books I actually worked on, I was actually a ghost, which is basically an uncredited artist. So I drew a lot of background in Guardians of the Galaxy Annual Number 3, and one of the other guests here at the convention, Michael Gallagher, was the gentleman who wrote that particular issue. And so that was one of the earliest. And it was the same thing. It's like I knew Mitch, and I knew the guy who was penciling the book. He was a little behind on schedule. And I had just come back from San Diego Comic-Con, where I'd done like a Joe Kubert seminar. And so I called around, and Mitch had said, well, look, I know this Jim might need help, so why don't you call Jim? So I called Jim on the phone. I was like, hey, could you use some help? And he's like, yeah, come on over. So I came over and started drawing backgrounds on Guardians of the Galaxy. And then that eventually led to me working, doing backgrounds for Silver Surfer for another artist named Scott Clark. And then I ended up learning some things from Scott. And eventually Scott and I worked together almost continuously from 1997 until when he passed 50 years ago. So, and over the course of that career, we've worked for every major comic book publisher and independent publisher in the industry.
Oh, wow. So it's not just DC and Marvel. You've worked for a lot of...
Yes. Aspen, Davy Brothers, Boom, you name them, I probably worked for them.
And so you worked for DC before Marvel?
No, actually, I worked for Marvel first, doing backgrounds as a ghost. We did an issue of X-Men called Sword of the Braddock, which actually focused on the character of Psylocke, if people are familiar with the more recent Apocalypse film Psylocke was in that movie. Ironically enough, there's a bit of a theme. That character had been dead, was kind of in a weird state of limbo, and that book bridged her moving over from another book where the characters from the dead were running around called Exile into the regular, what they call the 616 Marvel Universe. So I guess there's a bit of a theme of characters being dead, and I'm working on a book that helps return him to his status quo.
That's always awesome. We'll get to that too. Did you ever? Were you a part of the X-Men Star Trek crossover?
Oh no, I had nothing to do with that. I would have loved to have worked on it, but I had nothing to do with that.
So,
right now, what is who do you work for? Are you solo? Are you just keep bouncing around? Is it a getting jobs?
Yeah, I kind of go from assignment to assignment. I have actually a Marvel-related project I'm working on right now. I'm not allowed to say what it is. I mean, I can tell you privately after we get done, but beyond that.
And then you'll have to shoot me, right?
Yeah, I have to shoot you. With a ray gun, probably.
You can bring me back again from the dead.
That's right.
Something will be really wrong with me.
Very true.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of the books here. Oh, by the way, let's talk for some identification as to where we are and why we're here. Where are we?
We're in Cottonwood, Arizona. We're at the Verde Valley Comic Expo. This is the second, hopefully, annual. It's actually held at the Rec Center in Cottonwood, Arizona.
Who does it benefit?
It actually benefits the Cottonwood Public Library, their kids' summer reading program. So it costs you $5 to get in. That money actually goes to help support the library and their summer reading programs for kids.
Oh, laddie, you brought a tear to me eye. Okay, so let's get to the meat and potatoes here. Can we grab one of your comic books and talk about it? This is one of the two big ones that are on display.
Yes, this is Brightest Day. This is a series I worked on over at DC. My friend Scott Clark and I worked on this. He was the penciler and I was the inker, although I did a lot of work on backgrounds and stuff. And the basic gist of this book is it followed up another series called Blackest Night, where some characters were unceremoniously brought back from the dead, kind of zombie style, and they were attacking their loved ones, and no one could quite understand what was wrong with them. And then towards the end of that series, there's a resolution, and 12 characters are brought back from the dead. And so they basically try to resume their lives in their mind where they left off, but all this time has passed. But it's called Brightest Day. And I worked on all the Firestorm portions. Those people who are watching Legends of Tomorrow and the Flash TV series will be familiar with Firestorm, or who watched the Super Friends cartoon back in the day. But it was an amazing opportunity to work on this. I was a fan of Firestorm from back in the day. I had the Kenner Superpowers action figures. So getting to work on Firestorm was awesome.
Oh, that's great. And I'm looking at the cover right now. I'm seeing some of my favorite superheroes. Some I didn't know had died. I used to follow the comics a lot more closely when I was a kid back in the 80s. I'm seeing the Green Lantern. I'm seeing the Flash, Aquaman, and Hawkman, and Hawkgirl. I had no idea they died. So did all these characters on the cover die and then come back?
Well, some of the characters are associated with them. The characters who actually died on the cover is Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Deadman, who that's kind of his shtick, is that he was dead. But he actually came back in an actual corporeal body. He didn't have his powers. And so he's brilliant in all kinds of sorts. Professor Zoom, or the Reverse Flash, Martian Manhunter, Firestorm, Aquaman, he'd been dead, Captain Boomerang, Max Lord, and Jade, and Hawk of Hawk and Dove fame. So some of the other characters on the cover are sort of, of course, the Reverse Flash is one of his major villains. And Green Lantern was integral to the story because it's all centered around when if you're familiar with the Green Lantern, though, and Blackest Day and Blackest Night, Brightest Day as part of the Oath. So they're all kind of Green Lantern mythos-centered stories. So he plays a role in this. Sinestro is actually in it for a little while, too.
Sinestro, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, Sinestro's in it, and it centers around when these characters came back from the dead, all of these other entities that actually power lanterns, like the Green Lantern, suddenly emerge. So all of a sudden we have Blue Lanterns, we have Black Lanterns, and there's a White Lantern in this that everyone's basically fighting over. And no one understands how the White Lantern basically connects to all these characters that have suddenly been brought back. And like you said, all of them there's something about them that's wrong. They're back, but something is not quite right. But that's part of the mystery of the series, is why were they brought back, and are they really them, or are they just a version of them? So,
all right, so thank you very much. How much does that cost? By the way, that comic book is thick. That is a thick book. How much does that cost?
It's basically $20, and there's actually 3 volumes of that. It was the original series came out twice a month. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow, okay. And do you have a Batman comic you can talk to us about?
Yeah, I have another one called Batman Incorporated that I worked on.
Okay. Let's get a look at that one. Ooh, it's another big, fat, thick book.
Now, in this one, I only worked on one of the stories in this. I did not work on the entire series. And my role on this was actually an actual full artist because of how the art was produced for the series that I worked on. So my name actually appears on the cover with everyone else, which is kind of fun. Kind of need to see your name associated with that. But this is Batman Incorporated. This is Volume 1. This is part of Grant Morrison's, sure to be remembered, Batman Run. And I worked on the storyline in here called Nightmares in Numberland. The basic gist of Batman Incorporated is Batman has returned after a period of maybe not being dead. I'm not going to answer that question because you should read the books. But he's basically returned, and there's something coming, and he knows that we need to be prepared, and he feels that the world isn't prepared. So what he does is he starts globe-trotting, and he starts giving out some of his technology and training all these other vigilante superheroes all over the world. So essentially, there's almost like a Batman in every corner of the world so that the world would be protected. Hence the title Batman Incorporated.
And it's so cool. That's like an army of Batman around the world. And I have to get my hands on this comic book. And I understand how cool it must be to be associated with Batman. And in a way, I'm associated with Batman, too, through you, because you drew me in the Occupants comic book tie-in, which we'll get to in a few minutes. So tell me a little bit about what happened, just a little bit. Don't give everything away, but from my recollection, I remember Batman had died, or not died, but I remember when Robin grew up, Dick Grayson, he became Nightwing. Now, did he actually put on a bat suit and assume Batman's identity?
Yes, he actually did. Dick Grayson was the current Batman prior to Bruce's return. And there's a whole series of books that deal with, you know, what happened, where Bruce went, if he was or wasn't dead. There's actually a pretty good run, actually, of Batman and Robin stories with actually Bruce's biological son, and Dick Grayson is the Batman that's actually working with that version of Robin.
That is so cool. And one of my fondest memories about the Batman comic books, I can't remember what age it is. I don't think it's the Golden Age, but Batman was drawn to a graveyard, and there was lightning, and he just switched dimensions into Earth 2, where Batman had been dead for years, and it was just Robin and Batgirl. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
I always wondered what happened in that storyline, because when Robin and Batgirl saw Batman alive, they were just, wow, that was just so cool. All right, we'll hop off of that. I'll have to Google that later. That was Batman. Batman! Okay. Next comic book. Let's talk about the Occupants tie-in, the one that I'm in. It's called Occupants Case 285. And tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this, and I believe Star Trek played a part. And
So I'll try and make it kind of a little bit more condensed than some of my other stuff, because I have a tendency to ramble. The basic gist of how I became involved in Occupants, my contract with DC Comics had basically run its course. I just finished working on Justice League of America. We were doing a series of backup stories with Matt Kent. And so it had kind of run its course. And I had decided it might be fun to focus on creator-owned work for a little while, which are projects that you self-publish or whatever your own. You do a Kickstarter or whatever for. Because there's a lot of other different genres and stuff I've wanted to work in. And I have been doodling all these different female Star Trek characters because I wanted to get better at drawing women, and I just started drawing them in Star Trek outfits. And over the course of this, I had this idea of red skirt versus red shirt. And so I was in the process of working with Al Sparrow. We had a conversation about it, and we thought there might be a germ of an idea that we could do something with. So there's actually a Red Skirts webcomic now, and hopefully we'll do a Kickstarter later for that. But as we were beginning to do the early stages of this, and I was just getting started on the art, I was contacted via Messenger by Eric Kask, who's one of the producers on Occupants, and he's like, hey, what are you currently working on? And I've known Eric for years. Eric used to self-publish and write comics and create his own comics back in the day. I knew him from the Fan Comic-Con circuit. And so Eric's like, yeah, what are you working on right now? I'm not really doing anything. I'm just doing creator-owned stuff. And it's like, would you be willing to
maybe take a look at our project, if it's a movie project. Yeah, sure, I'd be interested to take a look at it. It sounds fun because I enjoy that kind of stuff. And so he put me in touch with Russell Emanuel, and we started talking, and the project sounded really interesting, and that's kind of how I came on board. So.
And the characters in this comic book, they are all real people, right?
That's right. Every single character in the book is an actual real person. There are no random, just bystander characters. Every single person you see an occupant, unless their head is turned or there's a hand in front of their face, every single person in the book is an actual real person.
That just blows my mind. Those of you who don't know, it was a brilliant idea on the part of Russell Emanuel and his crew to, in order to collect funds to pay for this production, the movie Occupants. If you gave a certain amount, you had certain rewards. And one of the rewards is that you get to be drawn into the Occupants comic book tie-in. So it's a piece of history, and it came and it went. If you didn't contribute, you weren't a part of it. And I'm sure it's going to happen again. Now it's been so successful, both the movie and now the comic book, that Occupants, the sequel, has been greenlit. And we're probably going to see another comic book. Is that right?
Yes, there's discussions about doing a follow-up book actually for Occupants, as well as there's going to be a sequel to the movie. So
we're going to pause right here because we're actually sitting at a table at the expo and people are coming up and wanting to ask Dave a question. So, excuse me, sir, would you like to ask Dave Beatty a question?
Will you turn it off?
Yeah, it's already fine. But yeah,
he has a picture of Spider-Man that he drew, and this particular person wants him to sign it in right in front of him, even though it's already signed. That's awesome.
I'm not sure.
Actually, he's not sure. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, while he's doing that, he reminded me of when I was a kid in the 1970s. And yes, I'm that old. I loved watching the Super Friends. And I'm about to tell my favorite episode from the Super Friends. What was your favorite episode? Hit me up on Facebook. If you watched the Super Friends when you were a kid, hit me up on Facebook anytime. If you're listening to the archives right now and it's a year later, that will be awesome. That will make me feel good. It will remind me of how awesome today is. And as a reminder, that's the way you should feel every day. Today is awesome because you're alive. You have hope. And if you don't, you need to have hope, because even when things get bad, if you hang in there, it get really, really good. I am living proof of that. I have been through hell and back. And because I didn't let people say, don't be a dreamer, Jeff. What are you doing? You can't leave Boston. You don't have money for that. Just stay in Boston till you die and be happy. I'm like, no. I was going through a huge cycle. A big cycle of going nowhere. Boston's a beautiful city. I miss it. I'm going back in May. My son is graduating. And here's, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, let's give applause to my son. He's graduating Suffolk University in May. Like me, my son is a geek. He likes Star Trek. He likes it. But his thing is NASCAR. He's graduating. And he's majoring in marketing, and he wants to work for NASCAR. We'll see. I hope he gets his dream. And I am encouraging him every day to follow your dream. Sure, make the meat and potatoes. You know, make your money. You know, pay your rent. Well, actually, he's not paying rent. I'm more talking about me. But, yeah, you got to work hard, and you can't just come home and watch TV and go to bed. I mean, you can, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's fun. I do it. But most of the time, after work, I follow my dream. Do not let anyone say you cannot follow your dream. You can do it. Just work out a plan. And everybody's starting to come up to the table now. We got a guy dressed in a Flash t-shirt. Everybody's got a costume. I saw Deadpool. He's walking around here somewhere. And, you know, he's got his gun on his hip, and he's got a Doctor Who sonic screwdriver right next to it. I mean, it looks ridiculous, and the costume looks just like the movie. Who else am I seeing here? There's a lot of illustrators here, and I'm going to be walking around speaking with them. In fact, let me say hello to Alan real quick. Hi there. How you doing, sir? Your name's Alan, right?
It is.
And you write comics, right? And
occasionally draw them. All right. And occasionally draw them.
Okay. So you write them, and you've worked with Dave Pace?
I do.
Yeah. How is that? How does that collaboration work? Because I've never seen it from the inside.
Well, I mean, we worked together on a comic called Red Skirt, and Red Skirts basically came about because we went to lunch one day, and he said, I've got this idea, but really all it is two words, and it would be Red Skirts. And I was like, stop there, you've hit gold. And I said, let me run some stuff for you, and we'll come up with a treatment and maybe a script. He thought maybe I would come up with a couple pages. I think I hit him with like 70 by the time we were done. Just everything kind of flowed out of my head, like, okay, there's so much we can do with this. And it expanded beyond just being a simple parody. Now it's kind of a love letter to all the science fiction shows we loved growing up. Yeah, Space 1999, Buck Rogers, Lost in Space, everything. And now it's gone beyond that to become its own entity.
A phenomenon.
And it stands on its own. I mean, I'm really impressed. I'm still not sure to take it when people, we had somebody come up today who was just rabid about it. Just like, oh, my God, it's the Red Skirts people. And I'm like, I have no idea how to respond to you because, you know, that's usually my job. I always think of myself as kind of an ascended fanboy. I'm on the other side of the table simply because I ran out of space on the other side. So.
You immediately started writing it. And what was it, like you handed him 50 pages? Or?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, the final script is, for at least this first story, is a good, I'd say, 60 to 70 pages. So, you know, and that's without all the supplemental material that we're adding. So, yeah.
And those became webisodes, right?
Yeah, it comes out a page every now and then when we can get the time to put it up. I mean, the real trick with any labor of love is we're not getting paid. So, you know, anytime Dave gets an actual paying gig, you know, that has to take precedence. Same with me. If I get something that, you know, I need to focus on more to keep over my head, then, you know, we kind of have to do that, but we always come back to Red Skirts as soon as we're done with it.
That's great. Well, thank you for your time. You know, you said you were more of a Star Wars fan, right?
Yeah, big time. Married to a Star Trek fan for
opposite attract. And did you ever do any Star Wars cartooning?
Yeah, in fact, I have some friends that are kind of parody art. Basically, anything that I saw in the movie, like, well, what if that happened? Like, what if Jaws were roasting marshmallows and stuff over Uncle Owen's corpse while it was burning on Tatooine? Or what does the Stormtrooper shooting gallery look like? Because they obviously aren't hitting anything.
There's a lot of holes in the walls and the ceiling.
Yeah. But I have a number of prints that are along those lines. I mean, there's a lot of controversy going on about not using property that isn't your own. So I'm very careful to keep things in the realm of parody and satire, which is kind of a safe spot, sort of. So, you know, I never want to go anywhere outside of those boundaries with it.
Did you watch the Super Friends back in the day?
I did. I loved the Super Friends back in the day.
I don't even remember any of the names of the episodes, but I remember the episodes. Do you have a favorite episode from the Super Friends?
I wouldn't say that I have a favorite episode, but there is a great there's a great YouTube video. Just look it up. It's every holy that Robin did, but they put them back to back to back, so it's like, holy this, holy that, holy this. You can't watch that and not crack up.
That's awesome, yes. I'm always saying that, like, holy whatever, Batman.
Well, just some of it's so random, like, they must have done one where Muhammad Ali showed up because he's like, holy, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and he just rattles it right off. I think it was Casey Kasem doing the Robin voice.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Yeah, he actually did the voice on the television show, right?
On the cartoons, yeah, it was Casey Kasem doing it, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, I'm going to tell you my favorite episode. I'm going to tell Dave in a second. My favorite episode, sign episode, where they captured Superman's powers and they made a monster. And then Robin got, in order to fight him, he had to go into that machine and become half Robin and half Superman, like a super Robin. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely. It's been years.
It was so awesome seeing Robin with Superman powers. That was so cool.
Well, yeah, because usually he does have to be the butt monkey. You know, he's always, this looks dangerous. Let's send Robin in, you know. That's only the fun part.
Really quick, what was your favorite Star Trek episode?
Favorite Star Trek episode? I know the pat answer is Trouble with Tribbles, but to be honest, I think one of my favorites is actually the one we're basing this first arc of Red Skirts off of, the Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Oh, I love that one. Started it all off. Yeah. My favorite was Doomsday Machine.
Doomsday Machine is actually planned, and this will be something for the Red Skirts people listening. Doomsday Machine is actually planned to be Kamari's story, which will be the fifth story in the series.
She's going to bring the Planet Killer back?
There will be a Planet Killer.
I heard it here first. Well, I have a huge collection of Star Trek books, and one of them, they talk about the Planet Killer was originally supposed to be a Borg killer. So it was the Planet Killer versus the Borg.
I have heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. But I always thought it was just like fan fiction, but no, it's a real...
Maybe you'll have that lingering in your mind, and it will show up someday.
Maybe. We don't have plans for a Borg in this. I think that would just be too blatant. So,
I've also heard that V'ger was created on the Borg homeworld. Have you heard that?
No, but that would make sense. That would definitely make sense.
Well, how do you pronounce your last name?
Sparrow, just like the bird.
Just like the bird.
Alan's the pirate.
Alan Sparrow, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you very much for your time. Yeah. And good luck with your table here. I hope everybody will welcome.
It's going well.
Oh, you know what? Before I go, let's rattle off a few of the names of your comic books that you have here. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about that.
Well, they and I do a lot of, have done a lot of work with cartoons, which is an old magazine from the 70s and 80s, and it recently came back in. Some people bought the rights to it, and voila, all of a sudden they needed people to do short stories for them with a car theme to them. And Dave managed to be in contact with them and said, hey, I need you to write some stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm happy to do that. Over here. Here, do you want me to hold it?
Okay.
Turn on, press the button.
Okay.
I'll just walk you through real quick. We have Red Skirts, which you've heard me talk about, and Dave has probably talked about quite a bit. I also have Thugs. Thugs is the comic that actually got me started making independent comics. I write it, and Stephen Reed, who is also here today at Birdie Valley, actually does the artwork on it. Basically what happened, Steve wanted to write a comic. He wanted to draw it. He didn't want to write it. So he knew I like comics, so he's like, hey, go write me something. So this never happens, writers, by the way. It's never the artist looking for the writer. It's always the writer looking for the artist. So I'm an anomaly. It's really weird. But we came up with the idea of, hey, let's see what would happen if two ordinary henchmen got lucky and actually shot and killed Batman and Robin. So you've got to figure if that actually did happen, not only would the superheroes all be out to avenge their fallen comrade, all the supervillains are ticked at these two guys because they did what the bad guys were supposed to do. So basically it's two guys on the run from everybody. And obviously it's not Batman and Robin in this, it's a parody issue, or it's a parody series where our version is Dark Cowl and the Finch. And one of the running gags we have in it is there have been 37 Finches because Dark Cowl keeps getting them killed accidentally. Or I'm making the quote sign, accidentally. And then finally I've got Barbarian. Barbarian is my webcomic that I do at studiofugazi.com. That's StudioFugazi. I try and get a new strip out every day. And basically it's about an 8-year-old girl whose soul gets taken over by a Viking. So she has a lot of anger management issues. Everything she sees and her mannerism of speech is a really bad version of Conan speak and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun to do. I'm hoping to wrap it up actually this year and pursue something else that's stuck in my head. If you talk to most writers and artists, they have at least 20 projects floating around in their head at any one time.
There you go. Wow, that's awesome. And just out of curiosity, how much is your Red Skirts comic book?
All the comics are essentially $5. Barbarian's a double issue, so I sell it for $10, and then I have a sketchbook for $15.
Is this the original story, or is this just where you're at currently?
It's where we're at currently, minus about maybe 10 pages or so.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks again, Alan. Alan Sparrow, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Wow. I love talking to comics and writers of comics. And let's give Alan Sparrow a round of applause here.
Oh.
The phone shooting with a phaser? Okay, thank you for the applause. Anyway, we're back at Dave's table, and we're going to be wrapping things up because he's getting a little busy here. But I want to find out what his favorite Super Friends cartoon was, which episode. And Wow, I'm just looking at, I'm looking around. I see a kid dressed in a Robin costume. I see a cowboy. Oh, my God. I see a Pokemon. I see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And you know what's so great about this expo is that it helps kids read. It's funding the library and their program to help kids read and dream, because we all want to be superheroes. Ah, I see a lot of weirdos here, too. Just some weird-looking costumes. I can't identify them, but it's pretty cool. I'm back at Alan's table. I'm just looking at these. He drew some Jawas, and they're roasting a wiener over some zombie or something. I'm going to flip through these pages a little bit while Dave Beatty is busy. Oh, we got a couple of pigs. Oh, you know what? He's got some unfinished cartoons, which is great. After this, I want to show you some of my artwork, because I've done some pretty cool stuff. And a lot of it's unfinished, but I like it that way. Go ahead, kid. You got a kid here that's coming up to the table. It's kind of difficult to do a Jeff Trek episode when there's just so many people. And I want to find another artist here. Let's see. Oh, someone's dressed up like a little sailor, like a Popeye. That's interesting. Let me talk to this guy over here. How you doing, sir? Good. My name's Jeff. I do a show called Jeff Trek. And we're interviewing Dave Beatty. He's a little busy right now. I was wondering, what's your story here? I see you got a blue shirt. It says Game On.
We are Game On. We're the largest comic and game store in the state of Arizona. We do comics, board games, role-playing, miniatures, the whole nine yards. We're located over in Prescott, Arizona.
Yeah, I've been to Prescott. I was looking for a campground, so I camped out for a night, but I'm going to go back. It was during Christmas, and everything was lit up. Is that the way it is all year round, or just for Christmas?
Most of the lights and stuff come out just for Christmas, downtown especially. They often do lights and stuff in general, but it definitely gets a lot more festive at Christmas time.
I see a lot of comic books here. What are some of your favorites?
My personal favorite is going to be Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye that he just finished for Marvel about a year ago or so. It was a really fun kind of realistic look at what an Avenger does when he's not avenging.
Oh, well, Josh, thank you so much for your time.
Not a problem.
Yeah, let's Jeff Trek up. Okay, we're going to walk around a little bit while everybody's busy. I'm going to go to the woman dressed as Robin. She's got a table, too. Let's find out what she's all about. Hi there. My name's Jeff from Jeff Trek. Oh, it's on your table. Oh, but she's protecting it. She's protecting it. She's dressed as Robin. That's so cute. And I think that you're the previous protector. So what is this table about? I see it says First Steps, and it looks like cartoons that kids are drawing. Is that right?
This is a coming-of-age story that he wrote. Daniel Franks is the author. He should be back from the panel discussion about 1 to 5 minutes.
Okay, so maybe we'll run into Daniel Frank. Thank you so much. And keep the cape. You look awesome.
Thank you.
So we'll walk around a little bit. I see a guy dressed like Captain America. That's pretty awesome. Let's see what else is out here. That's what our mission is, a little bit of risk. So, okay, here's a cool-looking table. Hi, my name's Jeff from Jeff Trek. Good. What's your name?
Ryan McMurray.
Ron? Ryan, my son's name is Ryan. That's a great name. What is this comic book set up at your table all about?
Self-published comic book called Zombie DC. So it's a prehistoric story of human survival with.
That's the best part of the zombie stories. Walking Dead, you know, Fear the Walking Dead. It's not about the zombies. It's kind of routine. They could just kill them. Like in the first episode, it was scary to kill a zombie. Now they just stick them left, stick them right. It's all about human survival. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. Yeah, look up Jeff Trek on Facebook. Yeah, like the page, too. I've been around for like 5 years, and we've interviewed a lot of producers, directors, actors, comic book people, sports guys. I had two guys from NASA, two different people.
Awesome.
Those were big. So take care, man. Yeah, Jeff Trek is, you can hear our episodes on blogtalkradio.com.
Blogtalkradio.com? All right.
All right, take care. And don't forget to look up NDB Media. Hi, guys. What do you got here? Whoa. I see a fashioned sword and a couple of blunt instruments. And is that some kind of blaster? Is that a phaser? Is that a Klingon phaser? No. What do you? Is this something you guys made?
All this is stuff that we made. This is Fallout fire gun.
Well, it looks awesome. By the way, I'm Jeff from Jeff Trek. It's an internet radio show. You can look it up. And I'm here interviewing Dave Beatty. He's a DC Marvel Comics kind of guy. So great work, guys. And I hope a lot of people come and look at your table. Wow, those look like old Coke bottles, too. Are these really old, or are they just made to look old? They're made to look old. Well, good job, guys, because they look old. All right, guys, good luck.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around here. I see a sign that says Danny Roberts Atomic Cattle Drive. And I wonder what this is all about. Atomic Cattle Drive. Well, they're kind of busy right now. Maybe we'll move on to a different table. I see Deadpool. He's taking a picture of some Star Wars aliens, those bald-headed aliens, the musicians. Wow. Deadpool taking pictures of the Star Wars musicians. That's amazing. Oh, look who I see here. How you doing? Wow. Yeah, I do. Tell the Jet Set audience who you are.
I'm Fred, if they call me the Chief. I'm the CEO and founder of TalesOfTheCon.com.
Tales of the Con, where did I see you first? I know I've met you.
We met at the Sedona Film Festival at a screening of The Occupant.
That's right. You were part of the same entourage. I'm coming back to you. Where are you?
Right there. See the banner with the skill and crossbones?
Yes. I'm going to walk over there right now. Okay. Should I check back later? Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Good seeing you.
Sorry.
So, okay. Oh, wow. This is really cool. I'm going to find out what this guy is all about. How you doing, sir? Good. My name is Jeff. I do Jeff Trek. It's an internet radio show over the past 5 years. And I'm here interviewing Dave Beatty and Alan Sparrow. They're both, they did comics for Marvel and DC. And Dave was part of the Occupants movie, and he did the comic book tie-in, which I am in. I love saying that. Yeah, it was brilliant. They everybody that contributed to the production got to be drawn into the comic book, and there's no fake person in that. Everybody's real.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. That sounds exciting.
So tell me what your table here is all about. These comic books?
No, these are novels. I write science fiction, fantasy, young adult, action adventure.
What's your name again?
Ethan Russell Irway.
How can we find this online?
Well, you can go to my website, EthanRussellIrway.com, and all my books are available on Amazon as paperback and Kindle.
Do you have a favorite?
No, I love them all. This is my latest one. It's called 57 Chevy to Mars. It's a standalone novel.
Great.
Yeah, it's a retro science fiction about takes place in 1959. About a drag racer who lives in Flagstaff, falls in love with a princess of Mars, and ends up in a drag race with her brother for pink slips. He thinks the pink slips are for cars, but they're actually for planets.
Have you done any Kickstarters or any Go-Go's with these?
Nope, it's all just self-published. Yep, haven't done any Kickstarters yet.
Well, if you do, let me know. I'll give you some free exposure.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
awesome.
That.
Well, again, it was really nice meeting you.
Great meeting you.
Thank you for your time. I wish you the best of luck with all your books. They look wonderful. Oh, and by the way, this 57 Chevy to Mars is interesting because Dave Beatty worked on a series called Cartoons. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Oh, no, I haven't. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, walk over to his table. Check out his stuff. All right, man. You take care. Thank you. All right. So this Deadpool again, he's talking to a cop. So that's so awesome. He's walking around with a camera. And this is an interesting-looking table. Oh, another Deadpool guy without his mask. How you doing? So and people are dressed up. It's crazy. Another Deadpool. Oh, my God. Ghostbusters. Wow. Let's go to the Ghostbusters table. Hi, guys. Hi, my name's Jeff. I'm from Jeff Truck. It's an internet radio show. You're Jeff? Oh, that's the best name in the world, huh? Good.
Patrick.
Nice to meet you, Patrick. I see the address in your Ghostbusters outfit. I took a picture of the Ghostbuster mobile outside. Is that yours? Stupid question. You got a table here. What's here on your table?
We've got a demo of the Ghostbusters board game from Cryptozoa for playing with people. And we've got a variety of our props now. We've got the new Playmobil catalog showing out the new Ghostbusters toy line. We got coloring sheets. We got Ghostbusters stickers. enter a raffle basket. We're raffling off today to help benefit the Cottonwood Public Library.
That's awesome. It's a great, great charity thing. Not charity. A great. I'm at a loss of words here. It's a great thing. And did you draw some of these Ghostbusters?
These are actually ones that we get off the internet. There's all kinds of different files and stuff. We got quite a collection of them. We got the new crew ones. We got cartoon ones. We got our logo. Got a whole assortment of stuff.
I love Ghostbusters. And over there, you have the actual packs. What do you call those things? What do they call?
The proton packs.
Proton packs. That's right. It's been a while since I've seen Ghostbusters. They got lights. They're all lit up. That's great. You guys, check out. Let me see this. Do they actually work? Can you actually trap a ghost?
Well, I mean, still make sounds, but I don't think we're gonna trap anything today with them. We probably need more licensing.
Wow, there's all kinds of gadgets. This looks like a real thing. I mean, this does not look fake. Did you guys make these?
Oh, if you have the molds and stuff, and just make them all ourselves. You can't, but you can soon buy them from Anavos. Prop company, but yeah, pretty much the last 30 years you've had to build all this stuff from scratch.
That's awesome. Now, Star Trek's my favorite thing ever. I tell everybody it's my religion. I see you have a Star Trek collector's book here. What's inside this?
We're all Trekkies too. So.
I used to have that. That's so awesome. So, hey, sir, thank you so much for your time. If you're on Facebook, look up Jeff Trek. Look up the Jeff Trek page. You'll see me. My face is inside Captain Picard's face. It's really cool. I'm wearing sunglasses. It's really pretty. Thanks meeting you, too. Okay, take care, guys. Wow, that was the Ghostbusters table. I got to see what's going on over here. I don't know what this is. Maybe it's the Deadpool thing. Maybe I can speak with someone here. Hi there. My name's Jeff. I'm from Jeff Trek. And so I've been doing the show for about 5 years. And I'm interviewing Dave Vady over there from DC and Marvel. And I saw your table. This looks interesting. What is this all about?
This is Operation Supply Drop, where it supports our veterans and our troops out there. These DEMS consoles, we send them out to our troops so they have something to do in their downtime. They can play video games and stuff. And then we also take our veterans out to, like, ball games, Comic Con. I'm here today. We'll do Nerf Wars. We like to support our community. We do a whole lot of things. But the main goal is to create fun where there is none.
That almost brings a tear to my eye. Thank you so much. My father's a veteran, and I thank him all the time. He was in Vietnam. He was a sergeant.
Such a hard time.
And a big shout-out to the VA hospital in Phoenix. They're trying their best. And, yeah, she was describing, what is this called again?
GEMS console, GEMS gaming console.
It looks like a suitcase, and you open it up. And there's a computer screen inside, and they can play video games. That's amazing. And what do you
have, like, an actual video game console down here, and it'll plug into the TV, and they can, you know, just play their games.
Awesome. And what are these here? Are these the games? What are those?
So this one right here is just the card telling about ourselves. We have a Facebook page, and it gives you a little bit more insight. You can take pictures of things we've done. Like, just a few weeks ago, we had a party at Luke Air Force Base at their thing. We've been there like 2 times in the last couple months. We go out to the Yuma Air Base and for the Marines down there. And we've had 2 parties since July for them. And the families just love it.
Have you been to the Pima Air and Space Museum?
Not me personally, but Alex might have.
You guys should check it out. They have hundreds and hundreds of jets and planes throughout history, throughout the history of the United States. They even have the Wright Brothers plane.
That is awesome. I've been to the museum up in Seattle.
Okay. That was along the same lines?
Yes. It's basically, it has like a bunch of different little planes right there for Boeing.
Yeah, I guess a peek inside a B-17 bomber. That was really cool.
Oh, yeah, I would like to do that. You know, my dad restored tanks when I was a kid at Deer Valley Airport, right near there, and they had the Blue Angels come in, and I was sitting on the turret as they were flying by us, and they could actually wave, and we would see them waving to us.
That is so cool. I have to move on, but what you're doing here is beautiful, and thank you so much for what you're doing. Yeah, have a great day. I hope you saw a lot of stuff. All right. I'm going to try and make my way back to Dave Vitti. Oh, let me find out what this is. Hi there. My name's Jeff. I'm from Jeff Track. Nice to meet you. Hi. You look like an illustrator.
Yeah.
What's this table all
about? It's about me, Sean.
What's that?
Sean Clark.
Sure, that's awesome. Tell me, what is it here that you're drawing? Quick, everything here is so interesting.
Well, first started out doing superheroes type of comic book art style, and right now I'm heavily doing cartoony stuff. And goal right now is to do kids books, author and illustrate kids books. Get into schools, try to promote not just reading, but good morals, golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated. Number one thing.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. And I'm looking at your artwork here, and it's so wonderful. I'm going to come back and show you some of my artwork. Yeah. So thank you so much for your time. And so what was your favorite out of all these? Is it this comic book right here? What is this?
This is an anthology book that I did with my brother-in-law. Pretty much he said, hey, I haven't been drawing for a while. I haven't been drawing for a while, too. So we came together. He did his story. I did my story. And that's what it is, just an anthology book. My story came pretty much from a life experience of going to shows, being a fan of, like, an artist, and then just not really getting the experience that I thought I was going to get. My hero, being my hero, turns out to be, say, my villain.
That's great, and you're turning into your own hero right there. What's the name of this comic?
Hyde Comics Ink Presents Commencement.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be $4? That's a fair price, sir. Hey, thank you so much for your time. And look me up on Facebook if you get a chance. It's Jeff. My name is Jeff Ferguson. Oh, I got your card. I'll send you some info. And you can hit the archives. It's Blog Talk Radio through NDB Media, and it's Jeff Trek. And I've interviewed a lot of cool people, and you're one of them. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye. All right. We're making our way slowly. I see a guy in bunny ears. I got to find out what this guy's all about. How you doing, sir? My name is Jeff. I'm from Jeff Trek. Yeah, it's an internet radio show that we've been doing for about 5 years now, and we've had a lot of great, great people on the show. And this is, now tell me what, this is really funny. Tell me what this comic book is.
Okay, it's called Bunny Vomit. It's a collection of my series on the web at bunnyvomit.com. The name came from, as we often asked, is bunnies can't actually vomit. They don't have a gag reflex.
You don't?
No, they can actually, there's many things bunnies can do, but that's the only one thing they can't. And if one could, I think it would be very adorable because it's bunnies and they just can't help but be adorable. But it'd also be a little gross because it's still vomit. And that's kind of how my humor stems, is something that's very cute and just a little gross.
Easter's coming really soon.
Bunny Vomit Holiday. It's the unofficial Bunny Vomit Holiday.
Okay, so do you think you sell more comic books on Easter, or do you think people run away from it on Easter?
I think I sell more on Easter. It's like they get drawn in by the pink bunnies. It's an attractive assortment. And I think they also think of marshmallow peeps when they think of vomit. You know, it's like...
Well, that's wonderful. Here, do you have a favorite?
What's one of your favorites? So,
is it just one story here that you have? Or
it's a collection of strips that are pulled out into stories. It takes 2 to 3 weeks, so it's a couple months. So I think each issue gets better than the last. I'm personally happy with issue 5. I do a great story where Birdie sells a book called... it's like Monster... Super Monster Orgy, and it's supposed to be a book that he wrote about a sandwich he made, and that's the name of the sandwich. Tyler Perry bought the rights to it and made a movie, and he gets rich.
Well, give me crickets here. Wow, that is so cool.
I also have my 24-hour comics here. I do a 24-hour comic challenge every year. Each year, I've done it faster than the last. My last book, Almost Ocho, I did in 18 hours.
Wow, that's incredible. Do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, you can go to bunnyvomit.com. Keeps it pretty simple. I have everything up there. I update 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
And what's your name?
My name is Birdie.
Your name is Birdie. Birdie, it's so nice to meet you. All right, have a great day. All right. Okay, we're slowly making our way through here, trying not to disturb anybody. Oh, here's a group of people I want to meet. Hi, my name is Jeff. I'm from Jeff Trek. I've been doing an internet radio show for the last 5 years. I'm interviewing Dave Beatty over here from DC and Marvel, and I was just curious. I'm looking at your comic book, and I'm wondering, what is this all about? I see the Flash, and it says Crimson. What's your story here? What are you showing people, if you don't mind?
My name is Brian Augustine. I've been involved in the comics business for better than 30 years. Mostly what I show are things that I've written. So out there, Crimson, Gotham by Gaslight, I wrote with Mike Mignola, the artist who went on to create Hellboy. I was the editor of Flash, editor at DC for a long time. I edited Flash for a long time, brought Mark Waid in as the writer, and then he and I went on to co-write the Flash for about another 5 years.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm sorry I'm just sitting. I see that you're eating lunch. I didn't think this might be a wrong time. But
I'm here in the middle of the con eating, so I'm interruptible. It's okay.
Okay, so I see the poster of Batman in back of you. And I'm sorry, you say your name was Brian Augustine? Or Augustine, that's how you pronounce it. Augustine, Brian Augustine. I got to get that straight. I see, what's your favorite book out of the ones that you're on display? You got The Tale of the Batman, Crimson.
You're asking me what my favorite child is. I can't do that.
Every time someone tells me, what's your favorite Star Trek, I said, I can't choose between my children.
I would say The God of My Gaslight is probably, the most enduring and popular of the works I've done. It was my career, and it's a one-shot thing, whereas, Flash is many, many issues, or, a lot of these are continuing series. So Gotham, my guess, that is probably, slight edge nearer and dearer to my heart. And again, working with an artist of Mike Mignola's caliber, and frankly, being friends with a guy like that, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and have you ever met Dave Beatty over there? Yeah, he's a great guy. And so, okay, well, thank you so much for your time, and I wish you the best, and it's so cool meeting you. The name of my show is Jeff Trek. Yeah, as in Star Trek, but Jeff Trek. It's been around for like 5 years. I help promote movies and whatever else. So, do you have a card? Maybe I can help promote your books. He's got a card, ladies and gentlemen. This is great. I got to collect these cards.
I've got a really great card.
I got to see your card. Give me my card. Let me see here. Oh, that's great. It's a picture of a man in a suit with a typewriter for a head. And that's so cool. Well, Brian, thank you so much for your time. And I'll leave you with your sandwich.
Good luck.
Give me some fist. Boom. Shake it. Okay, we're at the next table here. It looks like Dave is just being flooded with people. So, there's a guy dressed like Wolverine. That is so cool. They're taking pictures. Hi, sir. How are you? My name's Jeff from Jeff Trek, and I was hoping I could ask you a question about what you have on display here. Is that okay? Okay. What's your name?
Gallagher, Michael.
Hi, Michael Gallagher. And what are these cartoons I'm seeing? They're pretty neat.
Well, I've been in the industry a long time, and I mostly did kids' comics, Sonic the Hedgehog, Sabrina the Witch, and Alf, when Alf was on TV. But I also worked for Mad Magazine.
You worked on Alf. That is so cool. And, I see Alf right here, too. And I know that cat. What cat is that again?
It's the first created by my Uncle George.
Oh, wow. I have an Uncle George, too. That's my dad's brother. And I see Guardians of the Galaxy. Did you work on that one?
Yes, I did. I worked on Guardians in the early 90s. There's a different group of Guardians than the ones that are in the movies now. But they're still pretty popular.
I see the Guardians of the Galaxy in the year 3000. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
See you. Best of luck. Take care. And I'm moving around. I don't know who I want to talk to. I see a sign here. Oh, wait. Dave Beatty is freed up. All right. I was waiting for you guys to free up. Are we excited? I got to end this episode. Okay. Just real quick before you go, what was your favorite Super Friends episode? Even if you don't know the name?
Favorite Super Friends episode. It's actually Challenge of the Super Friends. It is the episode where the villains travel back into the character's origin and assume their duties, or responsibilities. So Cheetah goes back and interferes with the Contest of Champions with Wonder Woman, and she becomes Wonder Woman. Sinestro goes back and actually finds and actually gets the ring from Abin Sur and impersonates Hal Jordan. So the Justice League, as we know it, technically doesn't exist, because and they take the most powerful members off the board. So you're left with, like, Batman and Robin and a couple other lesser-powered characters to try and figure out what's going wrong.
Well, I don't know if you remember the name of this episode, real quick. It's my favorite. It's when Dr. Frankenstein got a hold of Superman's powers and made a super Frankenstein.
That's a good one, too. I remember that one, too, yeah.
And then in order to fight him, Robin had to become Superman as well. So it's like Super Robin.
Yeah, that's a really good episode. I remember that one, yeah.
Well, Dave Beatty, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you, and I'm going to catch up to you real soon before I leave. And good luck with Occupants and the comic book tie-in and every other venture that you're in. And thanks again. Thank you so much.
All right.
And have fun.
All right, guys. That was Dave Beatty and everybody else. And there's some other Occupants people that I need to go talk to real quick before we do that. Let's give Dave Beatty a round of applause and Alan Farrow.
And I just wanted to introduce really quick Alan Beatty's wife. Hi.
David Beatty's wife.
Is it David or Dave?
Well, he goes by Dave. I call him David.
Okay. Yeah, some people call me Jeff. Some people call me Jeffrey. And what's your first name?
Micah.
Micah. That's right. That's such a cool name. Well, Micah, thank you so much for letting me sit at your table.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
And look up Jeff Trek on Facebook. Like the page.
We'll do it.
Thank you so much. I'm going to just – is it okay if I leave my computer here real quick? I'm going to go talk to some Occupants people, and then I'll be back, and then I'll get out of your way. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to make our way over to the – I don't think it's called the Occupants table, but I don't even think they're still here. But, I don't see – hi, sir. How you doing? My name is Jeff. I'm from Jeff Trek, an internet radio show that's been around for about 5 years. And I'm here with Dave Beatty and from the movie Occupants. He did the comic book tie-in to the movie Occupants. And I see Star Trek. Star Trek is my religion. And what have you done? Are you an illustrator? Did you illustrate that? Captain Picard right there, potato head? That's Captain Picard with a potato head. That's so funny. Let's see what that
Star Trek is called.
What was your name again? I'm sorry.
I'm Art Gecko.
Art Gecko. Oh, thank you so much. And I'm looking at this. It says, Star Trek, the next germination, to boldly go where no pun has gone before. Oh, to badly go where no pun has gone before. I love puns. I'm a stand-up comedian. Well, yeah.
Funny story how this actually germinated, pardon the pun. I used to do work for Paramount for their fan club a long time ago, back when The Next Generation was on, and I was doing an illustration with Patrick Stewart.
Move over. We're going closer to you. I'm about to break my back.
Okay. So I was doing an illustration with Patrick Stewart, and the big stars in Star Trek get final approval of any picture or painting that's done of them. And Patrick Stewart is very particular about his head. He has some bumps and crevices in his cranium.
That's right.
And he wants to see those on an illustration. And I just kind of offhandedly said, you know, his head kind of looks like a potato, you know. And my wife at the time said, that's pretty funny. And so I did a caricature of Mr. Potato Head. And so this thing started kind of snowballing from there. I actually approached Paramount back then. They were like, no, we'll never do any kind of parody or cartoon about Star Trek. So I took it upon myself to do this myself.
I'm always telling people, don't let anyone say you can't follow your dream. Someone said, you can't do that. Do it.
Right. So as we were going along this thing, it just had more and more of the potato things were hilarious. The plate of fries. It's the Enterprise is a plate of fries, literally, with the ketchup squeezers for the naples here. Miles O'Brien, back then they didn't even have a name for him, so we called Potatoes O'Brien. It just went on. There's a lot of different potato joke stuff.
So when did you draw this?
Well, this is very old. I did this in probably about when the show was on, early 90s, I would say.
Yeah, it came out in 87, but it looks like you have the upgraded costume, so probably like 1990 or something.
Yeah, probably about 1990, yep. So
it looks
back then you had to do, a zillion of something, so I printed a whole bunch of these, so I'm still still carting them around.
Did you say you actually met Patrick Stewart?
I have met Patrick Stewart, but that was not during the illustration process. But, yeah, I just, you know, I had a fanboy standing in line at one time. He's a very nice man from what I – from my particular
he's one of my biggest heroes. Well, thank you so much, sir, for showing me this. All right, and good luck with everything. I love your artwork.
It's awesome.
And I got to wrap up Jeff Beck real quick.
Ooh.
And I'm just looking at the different things here. Well, I see a shark. It looks like a table full of fish. That's really cool. And, wow. What is this about, ma'am, if you don't mind me asking? You're not sure. Oh, she's just standing in. She's protecting the table. I gotcha. Cool. Well, that's cool. Oh, look at this. Hi. My name's Jeff. I'm from Jeff Trek. Nice to meet you.
You?
I got two lovely ladies. And so, hi there, sir.
Perspective.
Okay, so you guys are cosplayers.
No,
and you're just fine cosplaying, but you'll never guess my cosplay with my filthy weeaboo.
What is it?
It's just a character from this anime called Brothers Conflict.
Okay.
And this lovely lady with a diamond shape on her forehead wearing a orange and red wig.
But that's the closest I can get to real life. I'm not going to set my head on fire.
You have a flaming hairdo and a beautiful dress. Wow. That's awesome. Is that a real character? It is. Oh, you guys, they're taking pictures. I don't want to interrupt, but I'll be back, okay? You were at Occupants last night? Oh, the previous one. Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you take, but they're having their pictures taken, so I'm not going to get in the middle of that. And but I do want to talk to this lady here. Oh, right. Were you there at the Occupants thing?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me, just to finish up, you have an orange dress and flaming hairdo, and you look beautiful, by the way. And what is the character?
The character is the Flame Princess from Adventure Time. It's a comic, or it's a cartoon on Cartoon Network. Okay, it's a lot of fun. It's a little crazy. And then we have Miss Fiona over here, too, who's also from it.
So your name is Miss Fiona?
Fiona the Human.
Okay, that's the character. Okay, you're wearing a beautiful blue outfit. And what is that tattoo?
It's something I drew up myself.
Did you actually tattoo yourself?
No, goodness, no.
You got tattooed yourself. And you're wearing, like, is that a bunny ears type of?
Yes, it is.
Same your character?
It's Fiona the Human. It's from the same show, Adventure Time, on Cartoon Network.
Thank you, Fiona the Human. What are you trying to, are you selling anything, or what are you trying to do?
Well, we're TalesOfTheCon.com, so we are a punk rock take on nerd and geek culture. We're a media outlet, so we do a weekly podcast, we do weekly videos on YouTube, like a comic book review and unboxings and things like that.
We should do a crossover on Jeff Trek. Of course, oh, now we're destined to do a Jeff Trek, because he was also at the Occupant screening a few weeks ago. And how you doing, sir?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Yeah, so we were just talking about doing a crossover. Oh, my goodness. Here's another guy from the comic, The Occupant, screening a few weeks ago. How you doing, sir? Remember me? Good to see you again. Yeah, what was your name again?
Chris,
that's awesome. I'm glad I get to see you guys again. And you guys do the podcast?
Yeah, we've actually recorded a couple episodes. We recorded a full episode today and a couple of interviews.
You know, we just did a Jeff Trek crossover, so look us up. Jeff Trek, you'll see a picture of me. It's on MySpace with glasses inside Captain Picard's face.
And we're following you on Facebook.
Oh, you are following me already, yeah. See, I don't have to say a word. That's so
with babies and all that stuff when we were there at the Sedona thing, so.
Let's plan a real sit-down episode soon. That would be great.
Yeah, man, nice seeing you.
All right, I'll see you around.
Bye.
You too. Okay. All right, so I think I got to wrap this up. There's one more thing I got to look at here. Hi, guys, how you doing? I love your setup here. Is it okay if I ask you a couple questions? My name's Jeff. I'm from Jeff Trek. Nice to meet you. What's your name?
Jeff.
Ten.
Okay. Okay, so I see a lot of comic books that are named Angel Wolf. What is your kid Wolf?
Basically, we're selling a couple different comics. One of them is Angel Wolf, which is about werewolves and vampires and all kinds of cool stuff. And, I mean, you can see. Basically, it has the idea of vampires and werewolves always existing, and the werewolves are starting to die off from the sickness they get.
who decides they're going to find as many people as they can and turn them into angelic werewolves. Turn them into werewolves. The only problem is all those people wind up dying. So God decides he's going to spare seven of them and turn them into angelic werewolves. So now they're in charge of defending the earth from being taken over by vampires. There's a little bit of a zombie element to it, giant lions and all kinds of crazy stuff. Then this one, I have another one called Dark 30, which is like an anthology. It's got three different stories in each one. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone meets Tales from the Dark Side kind of story. I write all of them, and they're actually done by a couple different artists, either in the Valley or around the United States or even internationally.
Wow.
So the werewolves are actually good guys. And this one, in a way, I mean, it's going to get the werewolves have actually died off, and God made like these angelic werewolves that are the good guys in the story, but we might see the werewolves eventually again too. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's on this thing. Right now I just have the Facebook.
You're on Facebook.
Yeah, it's www.facebook.com/catwantthingcomics. That's it.
Thank you very much. I'm going to take your card, and hopefully we'll catch up with each other at some point. Maybe we'll come on Jeff Trek and say hello. Nice to meet you both. This was awesome, by the way. These werewolves, they're cheap. Wow. Wow, great job, guys. That's awesome. And let me see, what else do I have here? Okay, you know what? I think it's time to wrap it up. I don't want to hog Dave Beatty's table. And I'm so happy I ran into fellow occupants, people. That was so good. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this recorded well. I hope the sound is well. I've had it on. Let me see. Let's just give everybody an applause. Okay, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to wrap things up and beam on out of here, and we'll all just warp on out, and we're going to play our signature episode ending song with 38 Special, Back Where You Belong, because that's where Jeff Trek is right now. Oh, and I'm looking at Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, oh, she's so beautiful. I love her. Big shout out to Linda Carter. Let's give her a applause. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for tuning in, and join us next time. It's bound to be a big surprise. I've got so many things lined up, and we're actually going to be going back to Canada pretty soon. I'm going to be a part of a production called Alien Cross. Well, I'll probably just have a small part, but any part is a great part, especially when you're talking about the legend Sean Kenny and the soon-to-be massive director legend Russell Emmanuel. Oh, big applause for those two people. Okay. And Eric Kast, associate producer who I didn't meet last night and wish I had. I think I met him on the rap party. Here's to you, Eric. Give him a round of applause. Let's see. Okay. 38 Special, Back Where You Belong. Live long and prosper, everybody.
Life is full of big moments. Getting married, having kids, moving into a new home. These are the kind of moments that change everything. And they might have you making changes to things you don't always think about, like your health coverage. Covered California wants you to know that when you have a big life change, you may be able to enroll in health coverage or adjust your current plan. The enrollment window is limited, so to see if you qualify or to find one of our local experts, visit coveredca.com today. Covered California. It's more than just healthcare. It's life care.